Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Sports Talk with Tonsoni. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and this week we have a short podcast where we're going to talk a little bit of NBA playoff basketball, some issues with fouling three-point shooters. We're also going to talk a little bit about some college recruiting. Call it a podcast, but first, a little bit from our sponsors. Okay, we're back, and it is NBA playoff season. Currently here at the end of April, early May, 8 teams left in the NBA. Some good basketball being played in the East. It's Boston versus Milwaukee, Philadelphia versus Toronto. In the West, it's Golden State versus Houston and Denver versus Portland. Before we get into discussing those matchups, the Golden State-Houston game one was full of fouls and non-foul calls on three-point shooters. And we saw some of this in the NCAA tournament as well. What is the right call when a defender closes out on a three-point shooter? Is it a foul? And when is it a foul? And when is it a flop by the offensive player? We'll start off with the defender must allow the shooter to land safely and therefore should close out in a short distance from the shooter, leave their feet, try to distract the shot, but not run in and make any kind of contact with the lower body, upper body on a closeout. On the other hand, the offensive player must take a normal shooting motion, in my opinion. And some of the three-point shooters now, especially in late-game situations, are kicking their feet out, trying to make contact, and then they are falling off balance to the ground when their normal three-point shot is a safe landing on 2 feet, holding their follow-through, watching the ball go through the net. And it makes it very difficult on the officials, and I'm not a huge fan of officials, but it makes it very difficult when you have a combination of defenders flying out not in control and you have offensive players really jumping forward 2 or 3 feet and throwing their feet out and falling down and trying to get a call. I believe it should be called this way. The defender has a right to close out and should close out short of the shooter. And as long as they close out short of the shooter, then any contact that is made by the motion of the offense is an offensive foul. So I'd like to see more offensive fouls called on the shooter who kicks out their legs or who turns their body in a non-shooting motion, attempting to get fouls. It's the same as a shot fake at the three-point line and then jumping forward into the defender. I think that rule really needs to be looked at both in the collegiate level and in the professional level. It's just not fun watching people, both defense going too far and offense going too far at the three-point line, and then hearing post-game conferences about how the officials either changed the game or did not change the game. In the NCAA, Virginia had both of those happen to them situation. So that's an area of the basketball that I think needs to be cleared up. As for the matchups, these are just personal matchups. Not a real big NBA guy. Mostly with our Delphi bracketology work here at school, we do college basketball. So pro basketball I tune into towards the end of the season, but love the way Brad Stevens coaches. Loved him when he was at Butler. Loves the way he coaches at Boston. Would really like to see Boston advance to a finals under his direction. With that being said, Giannis, however you pronounce his last name, is really solid player for Milwaukee. And Milwaukee had an outstanding season. That series right now is 1-0 Boston. And I think that's going to be a 6 or 7 game series and still open for either team to win. The other semifinal in the East is between Philadelphia and Toronto. I'm kind of rooting for Philadelphia. I'm not sure why. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, I like the way they play. And I just want to see an old-fashioned Boston-Philadelphia Eastern Conference Finals. It reminded me of Larry Bird, Dr. J, some of those matchups back when I was a lot younger, a long time ago. As for the West, I am really excited for the Denver-Portland matchup. I think that's one that a lot of people in our viewing area is not they're not aware of the quality of those two teams. Specifically, Damian Lillard of Portland has had an outstanding playoff run in the first round. Denver won game one earlier this week. But Damian Lillard can flat out shoot the basketball, can score, hit an incredible shot to put Portland into the semifinals, and just recently came out with a quote about talking about pressure. And he says that playing, there is no pressure in the NBA. It's just playing ball. And that pressure is the homeless man who doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. Pressure is a single mom who's trying to scuffle and pay her rent. We get paid a lot of money to play a game. Don't get me wrong. There are challenges, but to call it pressure is almost an insult to regular people. That's a refreshing attitude in an era in our society of selfishness and look at me attitude in many areas of our society. So not only can the young man shoot and score, but he has a conscious a little bit about his role in society and what pressure really means. And so for those reasons, I'm rooting for Portland. Golden State, Houston, a bunch of players that now have had success that eventually lead me to not liking them. Golden State's a fantastic team to watch. Klay Thompson and Curry and Durant, they can play the game the right way. They shoot. It's fun to watch, but they've won a lot. And it's time for some new teams to make it into the finals. And Houston, I can't like the Houston team for whatever reason. And I think that they're a good quality team, but I'm going to be rooting for Golden State. I would really like to see a Boston-Portland NBA Finals, something new and something refreshing after four straight years of Golden State-Cleveland. Looking forward to that. And now for a little bit about college recruiting. The 2020 class is heating up as coaches start to do in-home visits. They start to travel to AAU events. And always interesting for fan bases to watch and see who's going where and what's going on. And there's a couple things this spring that I think need to be watched. One is the trial with the Adidas guys and the information that's coming out. There has no doubt been money in college athletics for a long, long time, whether it came from boosters or shoe guys or coaches themselves. Should it be in the game? No, it should not be in the game. The moral side of me says, you know, go out and recruit guys to come to the university because your coaching staff will develop players. It's a good university. It's a good experience for the player. But I'm not naive enough to know that there's not a lot of money tied in future pro endorsement contracts for shoes. What to do about it is not an easy question. Easy to say, take the people involved, the colleges and the coaches involved, and give them penalties and show causes and death penalties if you need to be. But that might be the easy route. College athletics is a full-time job, and it's a multi-million dollar, maybe billion dollar event. And depending on who you talk to, the players already get paid with their scholarships and their meals and their training. The other side will say that they don't get a fair share of the economic income that is driven by them playing football or basketball. And I don't know that what the clear answer is. For me as a fan, I would like things to be on an equal footing. And so whether that is get the money out with heavy punishment and stay with amateur status, or whether that is open the whole concept up, let payers get paid a little bit, find a way to give players money, give families money, a piece of the revenue without making it a bidding war like Motor Speedway sports with the best engine always pays the best money to get the best engine, therefore wins all the races, or the major league teams without revenue sharing, they can sign the best free agents year in and year out because they have the money. That's my fear with opening it up on the money side of it. But there has to be some transparency to where when you're selecting 68 teams for the tournament, that the teams have been recruited as fairly as possible. You're never going to get a mid-major, to get a top five, five-star player, not to go to Duke or Kentucky. But you want to make sure that players aren't going to schools because they're getting, you know, $50,000, $75,000, $100,000, and the school that you root for can't do that. And they're only probably given maybe $5,000 or $10,000. The money in the system has to be looked at. The influence of the shoe companies and agents must be looked at. And I am leaning towards opening it up and letting players have agents. Maybe combine it into some sort of guaranteed income for the years they're in college, put away. You could use a certain percentage of some money and the rest is going away to a trust fund until your eligibility is used up. There are some great minds out there, some former coaches and athletes out there that will know and could put their heads together to solve the recruiting. The other aspect of recruiting that I like to share with listeners is this. Your school is trying to get players to come to your school. If they do not get players, please do not take it out on the said players. Social media can be one of the best things around in networking and connecting and learning information about sports, about careers, but it also can be extremely negative when people can hide behind a computer and hide behind a phone and shout out at these young men who are making a huge choice of where they're going to spend their college experience. And a young man who has five schools on their final list has eliminated probably 10 to 15 to 20 schools. And it is just really, I think, upsetting to me as an educator to see people take it out on these young men when they make choices. And then also take it out on the programs and the coaches, as if the coach of your favorite university is supposed to wave its wand and get anyone and everyone that they want. It's impossible. When choices are, you know, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, Kansas, a young man's going to go to one of those schools. The rest of those schools are still quality programs, even though they were turned down by a young recruit. We all want our schools to get better. You need players in order for your school to compete. It is disappointing when you hear someone has your school in their final three or four and then goes somewhere else. But these are young men. If that was your family member, you would want them to go feel free, have their conscience free, that they made the best decision for themselves and maybe for their families. And the way I try to operate with Indiana University, which is my school, is I follow recruiting. I'm excited about Indiana being in the mix. But when someone chooses to go somewhere else, I immediately almost forget about them, wish them well, forget about them, and then turn to where the next player is going to sign for Indiana. Because ultimately, 13 young men will have scholarships at Indiana in a given year. They've chosen to play for Indiana. The coaching staff wants them to play for Indiana, and they will compete for the university that I cheer for. To get wrapped up into too high or too low based on recruiting rankings, recruiting numbers, it's all about the individuals and the type of style of play. I'm big in fitting guys into a system, not going and getting guys and then fitting a system around guys. So for Indiana, for Purdue locally, I think Purdue does it right. They get guys who can shoot. They get guys who can defend. They get guys who buy into the Purdue way. You hear a lot about the Butler way. I think unless you are a top two or three program getting five-star recruits like crazy, I think coaches really need to sit down and think of their style of play and how do the pieces fit in and make sure that you're recruiting to those pieces and recruiting to the university, not recruiting to the five-star or the ranking machine that is out there. I know that's easier said than done. Now, to end this podcast, catching a foul ball at a baseball game or a home run is the ultimate, especially at a pro stadium where there are 30 to 40,000 people generally. At some stadiums, maybe the teams that aren't doing so well don't draw as well. But that is a dream of everyone. And recently my son was at an Indiana University baseball game. It was rainy. A lot of people had left. My son, being superstitious, moved to the outfield to try to change the luck. And being down four runs in the ninth, the last batter hit a three-run walk-off home run, and my son was captured on television, rolling on the ground, grabbing it, and running with joy for getting a baseball. I can't help but watch that and remember that we're all kids at heart. Sports fans are kids at heart, and the feeling of attending games and rooting for your favorite players and your favorite teams is something that is what sports is really all about and should be remembered. And while we like rivalries and we like joking with teams and we like our fantasy football players and all of that stuff, remember that it's a kid's game, and these guys at college get scholarships to play it. These guys in the pros get paid good money to play it, and it's entertaining and it's fun, and the result happens, and the next day we move on and need to make the world a kinder and gentler place. We need to make sure that we keep athletics in a proper perspective, as I read from Damian Lillard earlier, and watching my son have a pure joy out fighting only one person in the outfield for a home run ball reminded me that sports are about fun and family and entertainment. And there's a lot more to be worried about and concerned about in all of our lives and the lives of people across the world. So short podcast today, giving you some things to think about. We'll try to come back to you on a weekly basis. I'm going to be adding some guests over the summer. Look forward to sharing our sports thoughts with you. So this is Brian Tonsoni for Sports Talk with Tonsoni. Please follow us on Twitter. Send us any thoughts about programming. We'll be glad to get that information to you. Thanks for listening.